I continue to be thankful to be able to be here and be able to worship God in spirit and truth and to join in these songs which were so very well led. Ethan did a very good job in leading those, and you did a good job singing them. I tell you, from time to time, it makes getting up preaching a little easier when the songs are so well sung and encouraging. I just appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. We love to have visitors with us, and if you want to study the Bible more, we'd love to do that. And you just let us know. We'll help you any way we can to learn the truth, obey the truth, live it, and go to heaven when life is over. I appreciate you being here, and I'm always happy to be with you. I didn't want to mention before the sermon, taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, that we need to remember our brother Mark in our prayers. He's traveling over to Perry County to work in a gospel meeting on Friday night, so we need to remember him in that work, that much good will come from that. We know he'll do such a fine job as he always does, and so we need to encourage him in that and continue to remember him in our prayers as he works and sows the good seed of the kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God." If I were to ask you, how often do you get tired? My guess is that many of us are tired this morning. I'll just tell you and be honest with you, there's times when I get up that it's not maybe 30 minutes after getting up that I'm already feeling like I'm wore out. We know what it is to get tired. We know what it is to be weary from a day's activity. Maybe a restless night. Maybe we get into bed late and we have to get up early and we're tired before the day really even takes off. We know what it is to be tired. And the Lord knows what it was to be weary. And we read about that in John chapter 4. He was being weary from his journey. He knows what it was to be weary. On one occasion he told the apostles to come in separate, apart, and rest a while. The Lord knew what it was to be weary from traveling and doing the work that he said that he came to do. John chapter 4 verses 34 and 35. And so we know what it is to be tired. There's times when we get home, I'm sure. And it's not a matter of just sitting down, but we're at the stage we just fall down for being tired. And I tell you, setting aside a secular day of work, working, doing various activities in the world for a living, doing the Lord's work is tiring. In fact, the wise man penned in the book of Ecclesiastes that study is weariness to the flesh. We do get tired from study. We do get tired from doing the things that we do. And I'm not talking about self. I'm talking about all of us get tired from doing the things that we know that God expects and requires of us to do. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul wrote to the church of Christ of Corinth. So we know that we've got to be faithful in discharging our duties before God. And what a comfort it is. And by the way, the Word of God does comfort us. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Paul said, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. But then you come to the book of Hebrews, and he sets before our minds so vividly, in the Old Testament, Israel coming out of Egyptian bondage. God had a plan for them. God had long ago, going all the way back to Abraham, in the book of Genesis, chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, that section, promising unto Abraham that he was going to give to him the land. That his seed would have that. His seed would multiply. If you can number the stars of heaven, that's how your seed is going to be. As the sand of the sea is, that's how your seed is going to be. Promised to give them a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a figurative phrase. That means that it was a prosperous land. But they ended up being in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. But God had already said that He was going to raise them up, bring them out of Egyptian bondage. And God was going to take care of His people because it was through Judah that the Savior of the world was going to come. In fact, when you go to the Old Testament, it really starts out very, as a funnel, if you'll picture that in your mind, very broad as he deals with all kinds of people. But then as the Old Testament goes on, the focus begins to be narrow as you get to the bottom of that funnel, because through Judah then was going to come the Savior of the world. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Lawgiver shall come from Judah. Shall not depart from him rather. To him shall the gathering of the people be. And so through the Old Testament, the Savior of the world was prophesied to come. And so that's vividly set before us in the book of Hebrews, which serves as an example to us. Serves for our learning. Sometimes folks wrongfully accuse members of the Church of Christ as not believing in the Old Testament Scriptures. If I were to ask you, do you believe in the Old Testament? Well, if you know anything at all, you would say, yes, I believe in that passage I gave you a moment ago. It's from Genesis 49 and in verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Just one of many of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of the Savior of the world, going back as early as Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Yes, we believe the Old Testament Scriptures. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction. The Old Testament was given by the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, by inspiration. All of the Bible was, but we're not under the Old Testament law of Moses. We're under the New Testament law of Christ, Galatians 6 and then verse 2. But someone may say, well, then what profit is the Old Testament? Well, it's very valuable. Whatsoever things, you could quote, know it like the back of your hand. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, why? For our learning. That we through patience and come to the Scriptures might have hope. Romans chapter 15 and then verse 4. And then I think about the passage that's found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Throwing our minds back to the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. And he says in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you realize, I'm sure you do, many of you, if not most of you, understand that of all the people that came out of Egyptian bondage, only two made it to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, they had a pretty short journey to the promised land, but because of their unbelief, their disobedience, I'll prove that in just a moment. It was disobedience toward God. They did not get to go to the promised land. If there was an Old Testament figure that perhaps I could feel sorry for, it would probably be Moses. The great deliverer of God's people. The mediator of the Old Testament law, the man that stood between God and the people and delivered unto the people the law. For the truth came by Moses, but grace, or the law rather, was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. But Moses disobeyed. Now sometimes we stop there and we fail to realize all that Moses did that was wrong. It wasn't just simply that Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Yes, that was disobedience. But he said unto the people, shall we fetch water for you rebels? And as a result of his disobedience, God said, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people, and he was not permitted to go to the promised land. Now what makes me think that I can escape the judgment of God by disobedience if Moses, at the age of 80 years old, went to Pharaoh and did God's bidding, but did not go to the promised land because of his disobedience? And again, that's set before us in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. In chapter 3, and you didn't say go back as you have time and you read about it, but I do want to point out some passages in verse 9. Well, let's go back to verse 5, right, of Hebrews chapter 3. Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. God took care of them, sustained them through the wilderness. clothe them. The shoes on their feet didn't grow old and wear out. Gave them drink, fed them with manna. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now watch this, verse 12. Now, the children of Israel were promised a land, a prosperous land. But because of their disobedience, their unbelief, their rebellion against God, they failed to get to go to the promised land. Now watch verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with him that had sinned, whose carcass has fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they shall not or should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Now if you use the New King James Version, the New King James Version renders that, but to them that did not obey. And sometimes, I'm going to hit this hard in just a moment, because it's necessary. You talk to people in the denominational world and they want to use the word faith or belief as merely a just believing in God, or they will say a trusting in God, and it does include believing in God. It does involve a trusting in God. But they want to stop there and not include a response to what God has said to do. And folks, I tell you today, if you believe and you don't have a response to what God has said, you've got a dead faith. James chapter 2. We'll see that point in just a moment. But to them that did not obey, or they believed not. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief or disobedience. You don't obey, you don't believe as you should. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. If you believe as you should and you have biblical faith, then you don't have any problem doing what God says to do, because that's involved in the faith that saves. Then in chapter 4, let us therefore fear. He sets that as an example before our minds. Look what happened to Israel. God promised to them the land of Canaan, told them they could go, but they failed to go because of their disobedience, their disbelief. Well, what on earth does that have to do with me today, 2,000 some years, this side of the cross? Has everything to do with me today. Because it's going to use that to drive the point home. In verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. Well, our rest is not the Sabbath day rest. Our rest is not the land of Canaan. But our rest is an eternity with God in heaven when life is over. That's the rest that I want. Don't you, take or not? I see this. That's right. We want that rest. And God has promised that to us. Jesus promised that. One of the greatest Bible invitations is found in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now think about the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. That's a sweet statement that is found in Revelation 14 and in verse 13. You know so well, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. You mean there is a blessedness in death? There is for God's people. There is for God's people. How so? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people today, I'm talking about in the church, that are not going to be able to appreciate rest as they should because they've rested their whole life. They became a Christian, just sat down on the stump of do nothing and whittle on the stick of do less. Just keep the seat warm. And I'm not having anybody certain in mind. I'm just saying, self-application. Would that be me? Could that be you? I want the rest that he's talking about. I want to be able to rest from my labors. Now is the time to work. Jesus recognized that. I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man shall work. When death comes, it's over. So far as our work and our labor on this earth pilgrimage is. to eternity after that, and we'll give an account of the works that we have done in this body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17. What does that have to do with us? Go back to the point of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us, who's he talking to? Let us. By the way, it makes a good sermon. I think I've preached it here. Let us. The times when the Bible says, let us. I mentioned that years ago at a congregation I preached that at. And one of the brethren that evening came back and said, I thought all day, why are we going to talk about lettuce tonight? I'm not talking about lettuce and onions. I'm talking about let us. And there's a good number of points we can learn from that. Let us therefore fear, talking to brethren, Christians. Let us therefore, in light of that, as a result of what happened to them, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now think of that. A promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You mean I can come short of going to heaven even if I'm a child of God? He's writing to Christians. Now you want some passages that deal with knocking the props out from under the false teaching of once saved, always saved, and the perseverance of the saints? Here you go. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and then verse 12. And a lot of other passages talk about that. Yes, you can come short of it by falling away from doing what God would have you to do, just as Israel fell short of going into the promised land by their disobedience, their unbelief. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. He's talking about good news. That's what gospel means. It's preached as well as unto them. The truth they had. But the word preached, now watch this, the word preached did not profit them. What do you mean? They had the truth of God. They had instruction from God. They had the law of God. What do you mean it didn't profit them? Did they believe it? Well, yeah, they believe that God is real. He's the God of heaven. I believe what it says. But they failed to do it. They failed to keep it. It was disobedience. Now watch this. Here's how it did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith. And them that heard it. Folks, you can hear all day long, every day, till Jesus comes back, or your life is over. And if you don't move on it by doing something, which is faith, biblical faith, includes obedience, it'll do you no good. If you're here this morning and you hear what I say, and the invitation is extended to you, and you say, preacher, I believe it, but you don't obey it, it'll do you no good. Absolutely no good. Well, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, obey man, that faith without works is dead? James chapter 2. It wasn't mingled with faith. They didn't keep it. They didn't hear it and believe it. For we which have believed. Remember that we which have believed is not just a mental assent. I believe what it says and do nothing. It is I believe it, I obey it. That's faith. That's biblical faith. You want a good picture of that? I take your minds back as I've recently done to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. How was it said that all those that enlisted died in faith? Hebrews 11, 13. Because they were obedient. Now you say that to folks today in the denominational world and they'll accuse you most of the time, if not every time, of work salvation. In fact, I had the gentleman yesterday tell me, well, you're taking God out of the equation. You're saying it's self that's doing it, not God. I didn't say that. Without God, we can't be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. For the grace of God, which brings salvation, hath appeared unto all men. Titus 2, verses 10 and 11. Yes, it's by God that we are saved. But I'm not talking about what God has done. I'm talking about what I'm doing. That's faith. That's my part. For by grace, that's God's part, through faith, that's my part, we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It's not work salvation. It's doing what God said to do that I might have the benefits of what God has done for us accomplished in the Son. Since Jesus died for all men. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, a cessation of works, a ceasing of work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief or disobedience. Don't miss that point. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, end of it, today after so long time. As it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, some versions may render that Joshua, the marginal note of your Bible, if you've got a cross-reference, will say Joshua. And the reason being is because they used the word Jesus in the King James Version, which was an Old Testament equivalent of the word Joshua, which means salvation. Joshua is under consideration. Had given them rest, then would he not afterward had spoken of another day? Now that's the context that puts before our minds Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, which was so very well read a moment ago. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath said from his own works, as God ceased rather, from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or disobedience. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that. And he's writing again to Christian people. What's he saying to them? There's a rest that remains in the people of God. You can go to heaven. But what do you got to do? I think about those questions that are asked in the Bible. We've mentioned so many times in Acts 9, verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What shall we do? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16, 30 and 31. What do we have to do since there remaineth a rest unto the people of God? Well, he tells us, verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example. And he's talking again to Christian people. You'll fall after the same example as they were promised the land, and they did not go because of their disobedience. So likewise, you will not go to heaven that God has promised to the redeemed if by disobedience you fall from a right relationship with God. You cannot separate faith and works. And folks, I stress every time that I do a home study with folks, when we get to talking about works, that you've got to understand that the Bible talks about different types of work. If you don't understand that, you're going to miss the boat. You are going to miss the point. He talks about works of the flesh, like in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about the works of darkness in Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 11. Talks about the works of the law in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and chapter 4. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Talks about works of righteousness that we are not saved by in the book of Titus. He talks about boastful works in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And then the Bible talks about the works of God. When folks tell you, and you ask them, well, you tell me, since I don't have to do anything to be saved, what do I have to do? How do I become a Christian? Now think of that question. Since I don't have to do anything to be saved, what do I have to do? It's really a ridiculous question. But tell me how to become, well, you have to believe. Now wait just a minute. Belief is a verb of action. When you tell me I have to believe, when you tell me I have to have faith, when you tell me I have to trust, you're telling me I've got to do something. Belief is identified as a work of God in John chapter 6, verses 28-29. When they came to Jesus, they said, tell us what works shall we do that we might work the works of God. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. So to believe on Him is a work of God. We don't discredit at all the necessity of belief. The necessity, we're almost done. The necessity of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Except ye believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the only begotten of the Father. To them that he came to, that believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Yes, we must believe, but we must obey. We must respond to the truth of the gospel in obedience. Real quick, James 2, and we'll close here. I keep you here all day and talk about these things. It's vital for us to think about, because we want to go to that rest. We want to go to heaven. And folks, we're going to have to be faithful. We're going to have to obey the truth and live the truth if we want to go to heaven. What doth the prophet, James 2:14, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now what's he talking about by works in James 2? Meritorious works? Were you trying to earn or justify or become your own Savior? No. Were you trying to earn your way to heaven? No. He's talking about works of obedience, doing what God would have us to do. If a man hath not works, what doth it profit him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. And then he gives some examples of that. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's interesting in Luke 5 that faith is expressed. When Jesus saw their faith, expressions of Bible faith are all through the Bible. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? That is the type of faith that many in the denominational world want to teach you that you can be saved by. It's a dead faith. I've got a note put in the margin of my Bible. You just to do just as well to ride a dead horse to Texas as you would a dead faith to heaven. You're not going to get anywhere. And think about that. You've got to obey. That's the point that he's making. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead. Verse 20. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and has imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man, not works of righteousness, not works of the flesh, not works unfruitful works of darkness, not works of boast whereby we could boast, but doing what God said to do. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also is not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead also. Can't get any more plain than that. Have you obeyed the gospel? You want to go to heaven, right? If you want to go to heaven, you've not obeyed. You need to obey today. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time to obey. If you truly want to go to heaven, then you need to do something about it, right? Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, I can just share with you what the Bible says you do to be saved. Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Well, I've done that, but I've not been faithful as I should. I went back out in the world of sin. But I realized I had it better with my Father, and I want to come home and start anew and straighten all that up. You can't. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. He's just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you. We can help you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Don't delay. Come right now.